Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 9th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
And my name is Brian Chaffin, and I'm a guest.
Yeah, you're a guest today. We're not doing Context Machine right now.
Right.
We're doing
Sorry
Daily Observations.
My mistake.
So this is the part where you tell me that you're doing fine, and
it's great to be here, man. Thanks for having us on the show.
And this is the part where I act excited. Brian, it is really great to have you here.
Yeah, and it's all acting.
Right. And but now the not acting part. John Keat, Devil's Advocate, is here today too. John, how are you?
I'm a little tired. I was up late last night, but otherwise great. I hope you guys are doing good too.
I think we were all up a lot later than we would have liked. Just a hunch. Yeah.
Well, my partner said that it actually was not a different day for me because I tend to be up late. The only difference is I was clicking a lot. Which was true.
Is that really that much of a change for you, though?
Well, I'm usually not clicking one website repeatedly over and over like an animal waiting for a food pellet to drop.
that's oh my god, that's all we are.
You know what?
Oh my god.
Yep. And as horrible as it feels to have that reality thrown in my face,
Yeah. You
just made my whole day, John, because that was the best line ever. All right. Well, hey, thanks. Before we get into to our topics, we have a sponsor today that I really want to talk about because they're pretty awesome. And that's Casper, the mattress company. And I'm glad there are...
I got one of these.
Oh, you have one too?
I got one for a place in Texas. So it was a great experience.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been using a Casper mattress for a couple of years and have been very pleased with it. I wish I could have spent more time on it last night, but you know, I was busy being an animal trying to get my pellet. and Brian, you have one also. So
I wish I was in it. Hey, listen, when I can find out how to podcast from my Casper. I'm going to be a happy man.
You just need a longer cord. That's all. Anyhow, so you can tell Casper is a favorite for us. What I love is that when I'm in my Casper mattress, it just feels really good. And today it would be even more so since I was up so late last night trying to get an iPhone. But the point is they make these really good mattresses that are really comfortable. They're designed amazingly well. They're built right. And the attention to detail and quality is just fantastic. And they've really impressed me. And if a company can impress me with a product like this, then they are doing it right. Bonus, I get to sleep better because I'm on a Casper mattress. So what you people need to do is go check one out yourself. And the great thing is you can get a really good price. You can get a better price than other people simply because you listen to Daily Observations, which is pretty cool. If you're to pick up, say, a queen-size mattress like I have, $850. Anywhere else, a similar mattress is going to cost you over $1,000 easy. And because you listen to TDO, you can get $50 off. So what you need to do is go to the Casper website. That's casper.com/TDO. Then use the discount code TDO. That gets you your $50 off. So that $850 mattress shipped to your door, $800. So it's a beautiful, wonderful thing.
The delivery experience is really awesome on that. They deliver in a box all squinched up, so it's not as onerous as you might think about just getting it received and moving it into the room. And then you kind of pop open the box and it unfurls and you give it a day or two. But it's super, super awesome. And one of the reasons that we decided to give it a go, because, you know, you can't try before you get it unless you live. I think there are depots now where you could live. If you live close enough to them, you could go and try there. But they give you 100-day free trial. If you don't like it, you just before the 100 days are up, you send it back. They'll send people over to basically do the reverse of the delivery. So it's kind of a no-risk thing. And it is honestly the reason we gave it a go, because we were a bit dubious of trying it, but it worked out. So, you know, we love the mattress.
There you go. And I love mine, and I wish I was in mine right now. Brian, I know you wish you were in yours right now. And listeners, if you had bought one already, you could be wishing you were in yours. Or even better, you could be listening to us in bed. So hit their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get your mattress shipped right to your door, $50 off. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. All right. So, John, you're here today because I wanted to have you on the show, not just because you entertain me, and it really is about me sometimes.
I amuse you doing that.
Yes, you amuse me. And the way you amused me today, it was in a good way. You wrote an interesting piece for us in your Devil's Advocate column, where you point out that we have now reached a point where we have iPhones that are faster than some of our Macs.
Yeah, we do. It's the title probably should have been a little bit more accurate than said some Macs, right? It's a little clickbaity, but hey, I'm a Devil's Advocate. What are you going to do?
I got to interrupt you right there, because yeah. I during the editing process, I went through that, and I think that the title... The point behind the title is accurate, and while we could have said some, we certainly did not say all. And the point about your piece, in my opinion, is not so much that of where we are, but where this shows where we could go. And that's why I thought it was appropriate. That's why I left it as it was.
Well, thank you. You certainly put more thought into it than I did in writing it, in editing it, than I did in writing it. But and I think that's fair to say. But I'm not above getting a snazzy title that attracts eyeballs. And I do think it's kind of a historic moment. It really is a watershed. I mean, you think it's one of these, it's not quite, you know, man landing on the moon, but when you think about how far the tech has gone since they announced the iPhone back in 2007, that here we are, I guess it's less than 10 years off, and we have mobile devices that fit in your pocket that are more powerful than laptops. In current, you know, real, this isn't one of the land of misfit toy machines that Apple has forgotten about. This is a current machine that was updated this year, and the phone is faster than it. And it was pretty surprising to me. So I thought it was of some historic note that we've gotten to this point where some of the machines have some of the phones have gotten faster than some of Apple's laptops. And it brings up a lot of questions and debate that are real, you know, reasonable people can disagree on. But I thought it was worth mentioning. It was an interesting moment in time for me, at least, just being an old timer and seeing that tech has gotten here and relatively fast, that it really is a computer in your pocket.
And to be fair, another caveat would be that it's faster at some tasks. There are plenty of tasks where x86 is still faster, but that's still not the point. The point is that we are seeing where we are seeing a future where Apple could switch to ARM, not just for the cost savings and not just for the control, both of which were going to be important for Apple, but because the performance could actually be as good, if not better, than x86 is giving Apple.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting in the article is there are links. These, by the way, the speed difference that we're noting here, that the iPhone is faster than a MacBook, is based on Geekbench scores. And Geekbench is, some would argue an artificial, but it's a diagnostic tool, a benchmarking tool that runs a large battery of tests. Some of the tests are apples for apples comparisons. Some of the tests are not. But that's the nature of benchmarks. And they give you a rough guide Meaning, like, if it's integer computation, well, an integer computation is an integer computation on across CPUs. But some things are like PDF, you know, tests where the resolution of the screen matters. The libraries used on the desktop are going to be heavier libraries than used on a phone because there's just more to it on a desktop. So it, but nonetheless, it tries to give you a good sense of things. But when you look at the benchmarks, when you click the links and see the individual tests like AES, there's like encryption and compression batteries that they run on them that are mostly integer and floating point based. It's not even close. I mean, the A10 spanks that Intel Core M7. That's the top of even the top of the line chip in single core performance. Even off the top of the line chip, the 1.3 gigahertz M7, by I think it's over 18% on single core performance. And the only reason that top of the line MacBook, the 1.3 gigahertz, edges out the phone in multi-core processing is the phone has a really slow memory. It's a lower bandwidth and lower, actually higher latency memory that's used on the iPhone, which is if that processor got put into a laptop or a desktop or something like that, it would have a much higher bandwidth memory store. So it would actually still be faster. It's only being hobbled by that lower bandwidth memory. So it is a spanking of major proportions. You just go, especially on that single core, and it makes sense, right? The iPhone is most of the apps that you're dealing with are primary apps that run in the foreground, so that single core performance is probably more ideal and needed on the phone, and it's probably more memory efficient.
Well, yeah, more specifically, John, because Apple controls the hardware and the software, The A10 processor, all of its A-line processors have all been designed very specifically for mobile power consumption.
Right.
Right? Maximum bang for minimum power consumption. But, yep. And so we're seeing these results for a processor on a device that is not optimized or even aimed at that particular result. That's the significant part here.
That is the crazy part. They weren't even shooting for this, and it still did this. And you're right. What is it? The PI Semi team that Apple acquired that is doing all this chip design. Mm-hmm. They acquired it years and years ago now.
Two teams. They're two processor companies.
Who were the other one? I forget.
Do you anyway, but they're Jeff.
No, I think it begins with an S.
There was a second S1 or something like that?
Something like that.
There was a second company that they bought. But go ahead, John.
Well, sorry. The wonderful team they put together from the... I mean, that is one of their home run purchases. That is one of the best integrations and acquisitions of a company because that team is knocking it out of the park, into other parks or something. It's that far out. Because you're right. They weren't even shooting for a laptop-level performance, yet they got it. And that team, if they were tasked with making a desktop version of this, would kill it too, right? Because they're not even trying with the phone version, and they're killing it. So they could add more cores easily and stuff like that and make it just a killer laptop or desktop chip too.
That's so significant to me. They bought, by the way, it's Intrinsity and Passive Semiconductor. It's PASSIF. And PrimeSense is listed as a semiconductor acquisition, but PrimeSense was not those kinds of semiconductors, right? PrimeSense is biometric stuff, isn't it?
I believe so.
But Intrinsity was the other one that Apple bought, and it bought it just...
All right, well, there's an S in that.
2 years after it bought PA Semi.
Anyway, it is a just a brutal ravaging if you look on the single core performance, even against the top of the line laptop. And all while it's doing this, it's your point, Brian, it's doing this with a way more power efficient chip is the crazy part. So you slap the same level of battery, the battery in the MacBook, and the 2016 MacBook is roughly, I guess, double the size of the battery in milliamp hours wise of the battery in the iPhone 7 Plus. So you could conceivably be getting 24-hour long batteries or battery power for that chip when you throw that into a bigger
or paper thin laptops.
Yeah, because thinness is the one thing I can't get enough as I
I just wanted to wind John up and watch him go.
Because everyone is banging on the wall, please give me thinner devices. I can't live without a device getting thinner, even though there's that ugly, hideous bulge on the phone that I just bought being even more accentuated than it was before. And I'm not a fan of it.
Just never look at the back of your phone. It won't be a problem. Yeah.
You know, speaking of which, it's interesting. Do you guys put cases on your phones after you buy them?
Yes.
Yes.
So why do you care what color and stuff it is? Like, it almost doesn't matter. I got a partner, and he always got the, of course, the prettiest color, the new black lacquer, and he's in some ways the perfect person to get it because that phone will never see its surface will never be exposed to light again because it's going to be in the case, and which is perfect because the black lacquer will scratch when you look at it wrong. So he's the only one that's actually going to maintain it. If you maintain it outside your pocket, it's going to be, you know, a black scuffy phone pretty quickly, from what I understand.
I have one response. Yes. Shut up, you're not the boss of me. I will get my color. No, I get where you're coming from on that, because we put them in a case, so why do we care? Yet we care. And this is pretty universal. Like, you know, people actually make a decision about what iPhone color they're getting, and most of us then put it in a case.
What gets me is I get why a lot of people put it in a case, because they're trying to make it last 2-3 or more years. So, but for people kind of like you in the tech industry that are going to get a new phone every year, why do people treat these things like heirlooms? It's like, oh, I got to put it in a case.
Resale value.
Edit.
Because most people, John, are mere mortals when it comes to finances.
True.
And the better condition your phone is in, the more value it's going to have when you resell it.
Do you really resell it, or do you just hand it down to someone in your family or friends?
Well, those of us who are on the mere mortal side financially resell our devices. Actually, I'm on the AT&T Next plan now.
As am I.
So
we need to take care of our phones so we can trade them in.
There's that too.
Also, I will have one drop a year with an iPhone where I will be so glad there's a case on it, because if the case hadn't been there, the screen would have been broken, the frame probably would have bent, but with the case on, the case gets all jacked up and the phone is perfectly fine inside. Hmm. And so one drop a year, that's all I need to justify having the case on my phone.
I drop my phone more than once a year. I never use the case. Usually it's fine, and if it's not, that's what Apple Care Plus was for. They just swap it for pretty much no, and I just move on. Yeah, I feel like it's just disposable technology. It's interesting, but yeah, it's pretty pricey disposable technology, I suppose. So I get the gist of that, but I just don't see it as an heirloom.
I sold every one of my iPhones until I got to the next plan last year, for what that's worth.
You guys like that plan?
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay. Phone rental. New phone every year I wouldn't care about a new phone every year except for my job. I mean, iPhones at this point are fantabulous, and I'd still be happy with an iPhone 6, really, let alone the 6S. But if we're going to talk and we're going to write about the new devices, got to have a new one.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was one of the driving forces for me to go ahead and buy an Apple Watch Series 2 as well. Also, oh, Brian's an enabler.
Yes, I am. I before we get on that particular topic, though, there's another point I want to make about the processor thing. If Apple was, and Apple probably is and has been working on processors for desktops, right? There's there are so many reasons for Apple to want to make its own processors for its own Mac. Control is one of them. Cost is another. You pointed that out in your piece, John. X86 processors are expensive because they're very, very, very good. If Apple could get the same or better performance and control it, and then, because do not forget, how many things Apple does on the iPhone where it's controlling even like the processor turning itself off for, you know, tiny, tiny fractions of a second in order to save power. These are all things Apple can do because Apple designs its own processors. If Apple were to turn... And I mean, there's actually a whole panoply. I think I can use the word panoply here, mm-hmm. of things that Apple can do because it's designing its own processors and designing so much of the rest of the device. If Apple were to turn that same ability that it's been honing for, you know, the last many years into making a desktop class processor, it is very interesting to think about what Apple could do with that.
So all right. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a moment.
You beat me to it.
Let's say that Apple does switch to the A series processors for the Macs. What happens to the applications that people need today? Where I'm going with this is, would Adobe rewrite its Creative Suite yet again to support Apple's processor change? And the answer to that is, I don't know.
I think the answer to that is probably not. Your kung fu is super good on that, Jeff. I think you get right to the heart of it. So we were having this debate here with a couple other friends. And if you put a gun to my head, I would say that, you know, I would guess they wouldn't do it. Not because it's technically difficult. For most things, if you have good Cocoa citizens, the conversion to a new CPU is beyond trivial. I remember when, you know, I was at Next, you literally checked a checkbox to compile for a new chip or to compile fat binaries, which is one binary that supported multiple chips. There was no extra coding. It was clicking a checkbox before you pushed compile. So it was beyond trivial to do that. And it's beyond trivial for them to make a version of the operating system for that chipset, because frankly they already do on the iPhone, right? They're already making the ARM thing, which is a subset of the OS X anyway. So that part is trivial, but you can feel the bad apps when you use them, right? Microsoft Office, the Adobe Suite, they have so much legacy cruft in them that barely compiles on whatever chip because of all the hacks they've used. It is a Frankenstein of apps that maybe has some Cocoa going on and some gosh knows what's going on. And those apps would not be trivial to port. Emulators obviously wouldn't work. You need to go back to Rosetta type software, which is no longer easily licensable. Although I'm sure if Apple threw enough money on it, all of a sudden it would become easily licensable. So all that is doable, except for their control over third-party apps, especially the bad ones. Again, the Microsoft Offices, which barely was, you know, it made news that it came out as a 64-bit app. Why did it take so long? Because it's such an old legacy pile of code. And and the same thing for a lot of the Adobe the older apps that just have a lot of that cruft on it and won't be easily transportable. I will devil's advocate though and say, for a machine of the class that we're talking about, right, it's a power level around the MacBook, all those users don't care because they're not. If you're doing emulation on that machine, you're doing it wrong, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing heavy Adobe Photoshopping on that machine, you've made a mistake. And frankly, if your only hang up is not being able to run Office, you'll do okay in the meantime running iWorks or something there. But the question is, and I think Jeff, you hit it on the nail on the head, is, well, what happens beyond that? Are they going to release? They clearly don't have CPUs of the power level that you need for a MacBook Pro, much less a desktop Mac yet. So that means if they were to do this soonish, would they run two processor families for a Mac? Technically, not a problem, but now all of a sudden you have to have the user base get familiar with the concept of fat binaries, right? And just, oh, did you get the right binary version for this operating system, which is...
Well, us old schoolers, we're already used to that because we did the transition.
Right. And the question is, would they do something like that again unless they were really going full on for a full transition, or would they run multiple chipsets concurrently? I don't think they'd be running multiple chipsets.
Maybe this is why Apple seems to be abandoning the Pro market. I had a line from...
Now you're just killing me. You're putting a spike through my heart.
Saying, I know. I am. And I did it on purpose. We had a letter from ACM, actually, Jeff, from Christian Anderson. And his last line, he was talking about his frustration with the headphone jack, a subject that we've talked about. But his last line was really key to me. Apple used to pride itself on providing the best tools for artists, but I don't think that is their priority anymore. And this sort of relates to the whole, would Adobe actually bother porting Creative Suite to a new processor for Apple? I don't know if Adobe would, because I don't know if Apple even cares about the market anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, on that really happy note, we're out of time. Actually, let us run over because I've been enjoying the conversation. So we do need to wrap up. But before we do that, I'm just curious, because we were up really late so we could all pre-order iPhone 7s. I'm curious which models you guys went with. John, what did you get?
I got a watch as well, but I'm boring. I always get the silver model, but I got the Plus and 256 gig, and I got an Apple Watch too.
All right. And Brian, how about you?
I got another space gray aluminum Apple Watch too. I got a nylon, the nylon band that comes with that instead of the rubber strap. And I got a black 256 gig iPhone 7.
Not black or plain? Oh, okay.
Black, not jet black.
All right. And I bought an iPhone 7 128 gig black, regular black, not jet black. And yeah, I ended up buying an Apple Watch as well because Brian's an enabler. And I went with a 38 millimeter space black. And I got it with the black plastic band because I want that for when I'm at the gym and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So nice haul for all of us. and hey, we really are out of time, so we have to wrap up. John, thanks for making the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep.
And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor all week long. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO and get $50 off an amazing mattress. And I'm so looking forward to later today when I get to climb back in mine and go to sleep for hopefully many hours. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.